Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon, that's the book of Jonah, especially chapter 3, but the whole book. And then this from Paul. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? So as we get into the book of Jonah, we have to recognize there are kingdom considerations at play here. And we are talking about the one kingdom. That's what we proclaim. The one kingdom that will endure when all other kingdoms are gone and forgotten and lie in rubble and dust, there is one that will endure, and that is the kingdom of Christ. And we are a fragrance of Christ among the nations. To one, we're a fragrance from death to death, to the other, a fragrance from life to life, and that means to a very large portion of humanity, to be quite frank, we stink. They see death coming in what we say. That's not what the message does, but that is the response. To those who God takes and places his word in the heart, we're the most wonderful aroma because we come along bringing a message of life, life that endures when everything else has fallen apart. Who is sufficient for that? We're not. We're not that good at it. And to say the informal motto of our congregation, we're not that good. But we have a friend who is, and his name is Jesus. We are connected with him, and he brings us along to be the fragrance of life to those being saved. How exactly does that work? Well, as we go through this life, we carry along with us the whole business of being the redeemed, which is sinful human beings who have had God plant deep within the soul the message of life in Jesus. So we take on a certain, how you say, je ne sais quoi. It's a French thing. It means the certain thing that makes us what we are. A certain something that is our distinguishing character, the distinguishing character of the forgiven. And notice, I did not say a distinguishing character of the holy, because that's not what we're about. We are, once again, bluntly, we are those caught by God in our sins, who being found out by God, then have found out that what God wants to do with sinners is to clothe them in the holiness of Jesus. And with that in mind, let's begin to make our list, a list of sinners caught in their sin by God and finding out that God wishes to clothe them in the holiness of Jesus. And to start out that list, Jonah. Even Jonah? Even the prophet who runs away from God because he does not want to prophesy, because he does not want to bring to the Ninevites the possibility of being forgiven and brought into the kingdom and family of God. That's why he heads to Tarshish. Where is the farthest place I can think of from Nineveh? I'll go there, and then the Ninevites will not hear about a God who actually forgives sins. Even the prophet who finally fesses up and is tossed into the sea and ends up in the stomach of the fish. Comes out with the smell of fish and fish vomit all over him. And as some have conjectured, might look just a little bit bleached out by the stomach acid. And yeah, that's the Jonah, that's the one. Even Jonah. Because there is a lesson to be learned, and that lesson has to do with the grace of God. And in the last chapter of Jonah, chapter 4, it's fantastic, read that chapter. Chapter 4 of Jonah, Jonah has this argument with God. And the argument is about exactly whom. Who is it that God should seek out and bring into his kingdom? And Jonah didn't want the Ninevites brought in. And so an argument with God, who should have eternal life? And guess who wins the argument? That would be God. As he says to Jonah, am I to not have mercy on this countless thousands who do not know their right from their left, or right from wrong, or truth from error? Am I not to have mercy on them? Which brings us to the Ninevites, next on the list. Even the Ninevites? I don't know if you're aware of what the people in the ancient world thought of the Ninevites. They were capital city of the Empire of Assyria, and they were renowned and famous for their amazing cruelty. And when they went and conquered a city or a country, it really appeared like they indulged in cruelty and savagery simply for the joy of the cruelty. Even the Ninevites? Yes. Even the Ninevites, and it shows how far God goes in bringing them into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of eternal life, the kingdom of Jesus. The book of Jonah says God prepared a large fish so that Jonah could be in the belly of the fish 3 days. And by being in the fish 3 days and then coming back out, he would be a prophecy of Jesus, who was in the belly of the earth 3 days. And by the way, as God is sending Jonah to bring eternal life to the Ninevites, there was also a certain boat full of sailors who also were needing to hear about the God who would give his own son into death so that we could have eternal life. But what was it like to have Jonah coming into Nineveh? The preaching of the one who came back from 3 days in the belly of the fish. He looks different. He smelled different. You don't get that odor out of your clothes very easily. There's something of fish about him. And he heads on into Nineveh and preaches, "Repent or perish." And then they do. They repent, even all the way up to the king. Fairly recently, I heard that there is a place identified as the Tomb of Jonah outside of Nineveh. Apparently, he stayed on. Apparently, after all of this, the Ninevites did not just want to know, how do we avert this disaster? They wanted to know more about this God that Jonah was telling them about. And there is a prophecy in Isaiah that talks about a highway between Egypt and Assyria, where the people of God, in the time of the early church, where the people of God had spread from Jerusalem and the Holy Land off to Egypt on the one side and off to Assyria on the other. That is how God calls. He calls even the most extreme. And Jonah is a picture of Jesus, risen from 3 days in the tomb. And Jesus looked different. He was glorified there in the upper room to show his disciples that he really was there, physically risen. He asked for something to eat, and they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it in front of them. And he sends out the gospel into the whole world, inviting everyone to turn to him and live. Did you wonder about the last verse of Psalm 39? Look away from me that I may smile again before I depart and am no more. That is the sinner standing before the judgment of God, asking for God to look away with his judgment, waiting for that day when Jesus came, finally God would look at us, and seeing and reaching out and touching and hearing his word, we would know that God did not have to look away from us for us to have mercy. But in Jesus, he looks on us with compassion and love, looks at us with delight. And so the third group in our list of sinners, caught by God in sin and then finding out that what God desires to do with sinners is to clothe them with the holiness of Jesus, the third group is us. Us. Even us. Even those who wander far from God and neglect prayer, distracted by almost anything, failing to follow God's word, preferring the pleasures of the moment instead of the things that are eternal, failing to care for our neighbors. Yes, even us. And as we open our Bible, we find out that God has arranged the entire plan of history around the death and resurrection of Jesus. Everything before points to the cross. Everything since comes out of the cross and empty tomb. And God has planned and arranged all of your life so that you could hear his invitation to come and live forever. Planned and arranged your life so that on this day at this hour, you hear of a Savior who loves you, who forgives sins, who carries sins, who went to the furthest extreme to carry those sins. That is why every picture of the Old Testament, every illustration of salvation is there to point to Jesus. It is actually the why for every part of the life of Jesus. Because God really does want you to be part of His eternity. It would not be the same without you. And that is the sadness of Judgment Day. And it's not just the sadness of the sinner who is lost. It is the sadness of a Savior who bled and died for each sinner. That is why God arranges that your life carries something of the fragrance of Christ all through this life. To go through life as a redeemed sinner is actually a call to everyone in the world who wanders without God. It's very different from trying to go through life as someone who is holy. A redeemed sinner is the preaching of the gospel, so that for others in the world we may be the fragrance of life and the fragrance of forgiveness and the fragrance of hope and a sure confidence in the face of anything that might happen, so that that's something different that is there about Christians. That something different is nothing else than Jesus. Jesus connected with us. Now, I did warn you at the beginning of the service that the book of Jonah invites some different sorts of comments at the end. Seek that people should look at your life and notice and say, what's that smell? Oh, yeah, it's the fragrance of life and eternity. I need that. In Jesus' name, amen.